Today's reading is Jeremiah 33, page 796, two verses, 14 to 16. Okay. Warning to Zedekiah. Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong one. Hang on. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Diane, for that. Welcome to you all, especially if you came for breakfast here. Great. Lovely. Thank you. My name's Richard Owen. I'm the other minister here with Amuta. You've seen, they call me the senior minister. That's because I've got the white hair. Although I remember once at the sort of leaving do that Sue and I had for the first church we ministered in, and I said, I don't know how the secretary has put up with me all these years I've been here. She hasn't got one grey hair. And she was a white lady of about 60 odd, and everybody sort of laughed. And then I realised in my youth it was probably a bottle. But I'm not going to say anything about Amuta's hair at all. Okay? But I don't use a bottle. So I'm like this. just a little word of... I saw some of you taking photos of the children, and they are lovely. Before you put them on social media up and down the country, you need to gain permission of every child that is on that photo that you took. Okay? Otherwise, could be in trouble. You may not think that is relevant, but actually one of our daughters has adopted three children, and to start off with, they were very wary about photos being taken of them. And one man said, oh, it's all right, I won't post them around here, all my friends are miles away. He didn't know where the children came from and what situations they were in before the adoption. So do think, please, before you throw them out to the wide world. I thought Amuta was going to steal the start of my sermon when she talked about promises, which will appear behind me. But she didn't. That's good. Now, where do we find the words I promise to pay the bearer? That's right. It should be in the middle of this. Haven't I put it on? I thought I did. It may be called sermon or maybe I didn't. It's on there under services AM. But yes, we can get banknotes. It's on the 50, it's on the 5, 10, 20, it's on the 10, and it's on the 5. It's on every banknote. If, when you look through your banknote, you find one without that writing, it means one of two things. Either it's worthless because when you printed it last night, you've left that bit out. Or it's worth a lot more than the face value because it's a mistake that's happened by the actual mint, which used to be up the road. There we are. You can't really see it there, but if I expand it, it's just there, just underneath where it says Bank of England, and then it's there on the £10 note just to prove it. This is the 20, and then it's done it as well on the 50-pound note. And that is a promise made by the governor and the company of the Bank of England. So that's it. But sometimes we don't always get promises written. Sometimes they're verbally. What about one like this? Where might you say this? I promise to you my love, my loyalty, and my trust for as long as we both shall live. A wedding. Yeah, isn't that the year? It's in, to look at the greater, that's the passage that it comes from. Before God in the presence of this congregation, I give myself to you as your husband. I, AB, you'll find AB and CD appear quite a lot in this service. AD, take you, CD, to be my wedded wife. I promise you my love, my loyalty, and my trust for as long as we both shall live. As I said, as some know, I used to have a very bad stutter. So when I was saying these lines, it looked as if I was extremely nervous, which I was, but I didn't really want to get married because I was having problems getting through the words. But some of you may not have said these words at your wedding. Some of you may have said these words. Before God and in the presence of this congregation, I, as I said, AB, take CD to be my wedded wife. For better, for worse, for rich, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. And to this end, I give you my word. Some of you may not even have said that. Just depends how long you've been. Some of you may have even said this. IAB, take thee, CD, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for rich, for poor, in sickness and in health, in love, cherish, to love, cherish, and oh, to obey till death us do part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I plight thee my troth. I used to love that end. It's the end. I plight thee my troth. Actually, the three words there, or three ends, I plight in one's troth. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. It's the same as give my word. It's the same as I promise. Those into semantics may think that there are slight differences. Maybe plighting my troth is just above giving one's word and just above a promise. But they're virtually all the same, so we won't worry too much about that. But in these verses, we heard of a promise that was coming. Verse 14, it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah." This first verse, verse 14, we have the advent of the promise. We're in the season of Advent now. Notice, though, it's a gracious promise. Means it's one that does not have a condition. It's a non-conditional promise, and it's gracious. Not given as a reward, it's given unconditionally by God to his creation. Says it will be fulfilled by him. Although the promise at this time, at the time of the writing, has yet to be fulfilled. We're into Advent, the heralding of Christmas, the coming of Jesus, God the Son, to the world. It's also the time when we think about him returning once more to earth. It has both of those thoughts in it. But he's come once, and he was born as a baby. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Grew up as God the Son. Grew up, lived as an adult, and then was killed on a cross. But from then, when he died, he rose again and returned to heaven from when he came. And one day it tells us that he's going to come again, not as a baby this time, but as an adult with lots of noise, and everything will be coming, and there'll be noises, thunder, horns, you know, trumpets, to claim his own, those who follow Christ. But here, this promise is actually talking 600 years before it actually comes to fruition, to that first birth. But it's talking about a promise that goes right the way back to the very first book of the Old Testament, to Genesis, where God says to Satan, after he's been instrumental in Adam and Eve falling into sin, doing something that God has said not to do, and they then pass that on to humanity. And then God said to Satan, I will put my enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Satan struck the heel of Jesus when he died. He thought he'd won, but then Jesus comes back, and one day we're there to crush his head. This is Advent, of that gracious promise that's going to be fulfilled. But sometimes that can be difficult to conjure. Don't you hate it when somebody promises to do something for you and they don't do it? I had a friend of mine who owned a scarf, and this friend, she left it at another friend's house. That was fine. She rang up and said, I've left my scarf at your house. Oh, that's all right. I know you're going to Tesco's tomorrow. I'm coming to Tesco's tomorrow. If we meet there at 9 o'clock, I can then give you the scarf. I promised to be there by 9. So the friend said, fine, great. She got to Tesco's at about 5 to 9. And 9 o'clock came. No scarf. She thought, well, maybe she's going on the school run, I've got to wait till about, so wait till 9:15. Still nothing happened. 12 o'clock, the friend turned up with the scarf. She didn't trust that friend again with a promise. And that's what can happen when somebody breaks a promise. We lose all that trust. But what do you do when God says, yeah, it's going to happen, but you're going to have to wait a bit? And in this case, they waited another 600 years from when these words have been written down. It does sometimes take a long time. We've waited 2,000 years for the second advent. But it will happen, because God is faithful and true and trustworthy to his word, to the promises he makes. But we move on from the advent of the promise to the administration of the promise. How it's going to be worked out. Again, verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I've made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. The advent of the promise. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. The administration of that promise. Because some promises at times can take time to organise. Time to get ready for all the right factors to be in place. In this case, it would take several generations. Promise would come and be in the hands of the descendants of David. Now David, King David, talking about here, is a huge milestone in the life of Israel. Came around 1000 BC, so that's always something good to remember. That's a date that's sort of fixed around that time. And he first comes on the scene, of course, when he kills Goliath. Now the height of Goliath, he was a giant, goes anywhere between about 7 foot and 9 foot, depending on what you're reading, but he was tall. And David was a young adult, or maybe just an older, teenager at that end. But David killed Goliath with just one stone. Goliath was in the champion of the opposing army, and he'd thrown out a challenge. David took up that challenge, and with a sling and a stone, he managed to fell Goliath. He went on then to be king. So he wasn't king at that time. But then his family became a dynasty. But David, yes, expanded the lands of Israel. They never had so many. If any of the neighbouring people tried to conquer Israel, they went out and conquered the neighbouring land. He wasn't perfect, though. We read about some of the things that he did which were not worthy in a way of being called, as he is, a man of God. That's what the Bible calls him. What he did when he went wrong was he actually asked God for forgiveness, and God was ready to give it. And then he went on to do more great deeds for God, and so becomes the man of God. The line of kings comes after him. That's his dynasty. And from that lineage, there will come a sprouting of a branch. Not a branch off the family tree, but a branch from the root of the family tree. Family tree after David in the bronze, there were good kings, there were a lot of bad kings as well. But the promise was that God, notice God, would bring about a good king from the very roots of the family of David. Now we know that Jesus was from the family of David. Joseph and Mary, they lived in Nazareth, but they had to travel all the way to the south, to Bethlehem, for the census, when Israel was under Roman law. In those days, there was no forms to fill in, no hope of going online to fill it in. You had to go back to the town of your birth. That was how they did the census. So think about some today in people, the way they move around the world. That would be quite an exercise to do. Ryanair would have been still going if we had to do that now. But some might say, hang on a minute. What about this verse in Matthew, in Luke, that says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Joseph wasn't father. The Holy Spirit was. True. And the genealogies, if you look, there's one in Matthew and there's one in Luke, going down to Jesus, or one starts at Jesus, the other ends at Jesus. They both go through Joseph. But Joseph wasn't the father, so how could the prophecy be fulfilled? Oh, well, we had that in the administration. Luke says, helpfully, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthai, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi. You have to remember, Jesus lived in a patriarchal system where your lineage always came through your father, or as was supposed. It never came through your mother. It always came through your father. So, you know, it wouldn't have worked if it had just come through Mary. So, he talks in that prophecy that we read, Jeremiah, talks about a righteous branch that does what is just and right. And that's a description of Jesus. If you read the account of the lives of Jesus in those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, at the start of the New Testament, the Bible read about a man who was righteous, who did what was just, who did what was right. Yes, he did get angry, but on the account of justice. Yes, he at times spoke very hard words to some people, but the words were true and right. He even upset some people, but at times he upset them when he was healing somebody. And they got upset because they said he healed him on the wrong day. But he was just doing what was just and right. Whichever way you look at it, Jesus fulfills that promise. He is, if you like, it was all built up, that administration to the promise. But then there is the acquiring of the promise. Looked at the advent, looked at the administration. Verse 16 says, in those days, Judas, I will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The promise, the acquiring of it is salvation. The acquiring of it, the promise is eternal life. The acquiring of it, the promise is forgiveness. We know this is to be true from, we have in English at the bottom, Yahweh Tesenkenu, the Lord is our forgiveness. Above is Hebrew, but you have to read that from the right going to the left. The first four characters on the right are Yahweh, and then our righteousness is the other characters on the left. The Lord is our salvation because Jesus has come to earth, because he died on that cross. He died as an innocent person, because he then rose again from the dead, because he'd taken our sins, the things we all do wrong, on his shoulders. So we can be assured that our salvation then is real, because he rose again from the dead. Salvation entails a life with God, following him, being with him, talking with him. And talking with him is not just talking to him, it's also listening to what he says to us, to me. Salvation from death. Yes, we do have mortal lives on this earth, but after this, there is life. With God, salvation continues with life in him. That's the eternal life. What happens after death? Yes, but it also begins now. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. When we accept his words in our lives. That's the beginning of eternal life. It doesn't end when our earthly life ends. It continues when we're with God in heaven. And then it's also to do with forgiveness. That's why it's called a gracious promise. It's not how good we are, how much money we have, how many good things we do. They don't count. It is from God. But it also means then I haven't got to earn it. I haven't got to be good, have high status, have anything. Because I come with nothing, and God does forgive. I just have to come and say, I'm sorry. I know, God, I've done things that are wrong. I've said things that are wrong. I've thought things that are wrong. Please forgive me. And if we mean that, then God will forgive us. That's what his word says. What a great promise we have, which without Christmas, in a way, we couldn't really have, because Jesus had to come. In just 22 days, we'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus. All right, it may not be his exact birthday, but hey-ho, they didn't have birth certificates then either. So, you know, it's just a celebration of the birthday of Jesus. The promise working out that advent through administration, through acquiring. Jesus, God the Son, coming to earth to promise salvation, eternal life, and forgiveness. Let's pray.